Hey, welcome in. Welcome in, you beautiful fucking people. Here we are, again, for episode 56. My name is Kyle, the Hat. As always, I'm here joined with my best friend in the entire world, Mr. Eric Wolverton.
That's me. I am his best friend in the entire world, Eric Wolverton.
And we do the show, Oh No Disc Golf. This is a podcast where Eric and I chat about disc golf and other things. We do this once a week. Eric, what is your random tangent of the day?
All right. So, as anyone who follows football knows, Tom Brady retired. So I think he's going to come for Paul Macbeth's beating him and is getting to the sixth world champion. We're going to see Tom Brady out there slinging tomahawks and thumbers because, you know, he can throw a football pretty well. So that'd be his go-to shot, right? Putting, too.
Probably. He'd like an overhand shot.
Sling a overhand putter in there from like 150 feet away. Blow fly it, right?
I wonder.
New rule changes for the 2022 season. We are going to get ready for the first tournament of the season, Las Vegas Challenge. And we're going to give you our top five Jimmy Neutron characters who would blast a disc.
LOL.
Brain blast.
I hope you watch Jimmy Neutron. Otherwise, Google it.
Yeah, if you didn't watch Jimmy Neutron, it probably won't make a whole lot of sense to you, but we'll probably get pretty funny during it, so.
Those are usually pretty good segments.
Yeah. Especially when we try to make the list together, because we always disagree, so there's always some sort of a back and forth.
I'm sure there will be today. I already think, yep, have one, yeah.
All right, so if you haven't noticed, there's been some pretty big rule changes. Some of them are pretty big, right?
I'd put like pretend quotes around the word big, you know?
I feel like some of them are pretty big. Not all of them.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's quite a few. So you're going to want to at least brush up on them and know so that you can use any of these rule changes to your advantage or so you don't mess up and get stroked after the fact. So the first one, instead of taking a meter straight out from the OB, you can take it in any direction. So it's like a semicircle of 1 meter that would rotate from the side of OB.
If you're a visual person, please Google it.
just like pretend I'm holding a line and drawing a semicircle.
just pretend.
Use your imagination.
Sure, it's helping.
If you've watched the thing, the All-Star Weekend, they had a talk about that on how the rule would work. So it's already coming up, and it's probably gonna come up for you. I don't have a lot of OB to play with, so that's cool.
I mean, I do. So it's pretty big.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying
gives you a pretty big. A lot of options for how to,
yeah,
like better use mm-hmm. your lie, I guess.
And I think you're still, you know, so let's say you take it on like a pretty big angle backwards, you're still not allowed to, like, you can't have any of your body part in OB, so you'll still have to like find a way to make sure that you're not in OB.
And some of them are bigger than others, but this one's a little bit smaller. You can ask to take a bathroom break and you won't be penalized for the time. So it's actually kind of helpful.
Yep.
You can take a break at halfway through a round if you need to.
If you're going to utilize this one, do your best to do it when there is a bathroom nearby. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Don't do it in like the corner of the course.
Yeah. You know.
Unless you're going to like poop your pants.
Yeah. But don't hold up the whole tournament. Or try not to. I shouldn't say don't. Try not to. Do your best. You know, if you see a bathroom nearby, just try to use it then. So, but still, I think that's nice. You know, it's not making anyone.
I mean, hold all it. all my IBS, people, you get it.
So now, disc supported in any way by the basket, not on top of where the chains are, the chain support, but any way that a disc is supported by the basket counts as in. So those little hangers that you don't see often, but you'll see every once in a while, if you wedge it in the side, that counts. Whereas like those didn't count before. So now you could take a blow fly and just shove it through the hole in the basket. The hole in the basket. It doesn't even have to go all the way in. It can be halfway in, partial the way in. Honestly, I didn't know this one either. If you find a disc that had already been declared lost, you still take a penalty stroke. I thought that was always the rule. I didn't know that.
It was like a gray area, I think. But I've actually had this happen in a tournament.
Right, like you just never talked about?
Yeah, it just, right. We just moved it along and they didn't get their stroke or whatever because we found the disc. So,
gotcha.
But it was crazy because we like called it and then like literally maybe 4 seconds go by, finds it.
Right, like everyone's moving out of that area and someone finds it.
Yeah, and they find it on the way out.
Gotcha.
So it was like, it was, you know, I don't know. But anyway, you know, so it does happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, under this new rule, they would get their stroke anyway because you did take up the time technically.
Yeah, so, but okay, does that mean if you find it, can you take that shot but still take a penalty stroke? Or do you still have to throw again and...
I believe you then have to still take the penalty.
So you have to take an extra shot and a stroke. So you're throwing three, right? Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I imagined it as, but I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah. So find your disc within the allotted time. You are allowed to use the disc you lost if you find it. And this is from ultiworld.com. The previous rule included and free of distractions in... like where it switched it to during which the playing area is clear. So it was basically broad enough to where it was unenforceable. Unenforceable. So now it's enforceable. So you can't, like, they use the example SWAT at Nats. That's hard to say. SWAT. Oh my gosh. SWAT at Nats and reset your clock. Keep it moving, folks. Basically, you know, it's like when your 30 seconds starts, your 30 seconds starts. You can't.
Yeah. So, but what, that's once you address your lie, right? Like once, because you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's still going through the same order. The only thing changing is that last part.
Gotcha. All right. So there's been a lot of talk, too, about the next one, how they changed the Mando rule. And honestly, the way I'm rooting it on Altiworld is confusing me more.
Let's hear it. Why?
So the way I've seen it explained is you can like make the Mando, but then if the disc hits a tree on the other side of the Mando and kicks back through, you're still technically not making the Mando. Is that how you understand it?
Kicking what way? What are you talking about?
All right, so if you make the Mando, and then there is a tree, like, just past the Mando, it hits that tree, and then it kicks back and hits the restricted area that you're not supposed to go through.
Right.
That's not making the Mando anymore, right?
I don't think so, no.
All right, so you'd have to, like,
that's
whatever
not what
they
changed.
Do.
That's not what changed at all.
Oh.
I don't,
then
well.
What is a... Then I don't understand.
So
that
it's not where it's not. It removes any consideration about where it lands. It doesn't matter where it lands. It matters where the disc is going. So where did this go? Did it make the initial Mando? Then it made the Mando. Doesn't matter where it lands. Basically, is what it's saying. Shortened down, airspace, right?
Well, I don't feel like it changed the Mando rule at all. Like, what was it before?
I think it just made it more clear.
All right. I don't know. I don't know. I don't see any change, but that's fine. That makes it easy for me. I thought one of the cooler changes is making people sign up for the PDGA if you want to play a B tier or above.
Yeah, I thought that was, I mean, something.
I mean, I don't feel like a lot of people who are going to be playing B tiers are going to be baggers anyway, but maybe there are.
Right. So what is it now? You have to be part of the PDGA, or what is it?
Yeah, you have to be a PDGA member.
See, that's why. I thought pretty much everybody who would be participating in a B tier would be a member anyway.
Yeah, normally, but maybe not. I don't know. What's establishing a position?
So it's just clarifying a rule. It's rule 805.01. So if a disc comes to rest above a playing surface, Its position is on the playing surface directly below the disc. If there is no playing surface below the disc, then its position is on the playing surface above the disc. So that one day where your disc landed underneath the pipe.
The culvert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it correctly. It's that rule. It's just clarifying.
As long as that water is casual, right? Is what you're saying.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are those all the rule changes?
There's ghost cards.
I don't even know what that is.
I just thought it sounded spooky. It was just a joke. Well, I mean, like, all the rules, all the major ones, go check it out. There's a lot of specific little things that we probably missed, so check it out.
Yeah. Check it out. It's on AltiWorld. There's also other places I'm sure you can read it.
There's a whole lot of, clarifying rules for, starting, at your hole at the beginning of a tournament. And just what happens when you miss. It's just a whole bunch of clarification stuff, so. Pretty kind of boring, but check it out if you like boring stuff, like me.
Yeah, rules are cool.
I mean, what happens if you start on the wrong hole? You know?
Trouble.
Now we have a rule for it.
You're reprimanded and tossed out of the tournament.
Yeah, you're butt spanked in front of everyone. Bare bottom.
Time for me to tell you all about my tournament.
Eric almost won a tournament.
I did not. Wasn't even close. It was called a Winter Wonderland. It was definitely winter. It was not a wonderland out there. It was at Wicks in Saginaw, which is one of Kyle's favorite courses. It's kind of one of mine too. I enjoy it.
Shout out Wicks.
And it was interesting, to say the least, about anywhere from 15 to 30 plus mile an hour winds with, I think it started off as negative 10 with wind chill. Like round one started off with about negative 10, I think right around there. Yeah, didn't go in with super high hopes. I mean, you know, not like I wasn't downing myself. I just didn't have unreasonable expectations.
High hopes, reasonable expectations.
Yes. I played a lot thinking mostly about my mental game, trying to focus on my mental game, which is something I don't think I've ever really struggled with that bad, but it was interesting to play and be kind of hyper aware. I was just really hyper aware of all of my thoughts approaching each shot. And so it was kind of a struggle at times. Yeah, it was just a kind of a different feeling. I was telling Kyle, it was the first time I've ever been mentally exhausted after a tournament. You know, usually my body's pretty tired, but
were you prepared? Did you have all the hand warmers and all the stuff ready to go?
Yes, I had plenty of socks. Two extra pairs of socks, which I always switch one. This for the second round anyway. Something about starting off with a fresh pair of socks, even if it's a nice day out and I didn't get my feet wet at all. Extra pair of gloves, lots of hand warmers. Had my Zippo hand warmer as well as just an extra one in case my Zippo one was spitting flames.
Hey.
Lots of extra towels, which it was kind of so cold that the snow didn't stick to it.
That's good.
Yeah.
One benefit.
Yep.
Of the horrible cold.
Yeah, it's still nice to have, but didn't really need the towels. Every once in a while, I'd continue just hold the hand warmers under a towel and just hold the heat in a little bit more. So use them for multiple things.
That sounds really quite cold.
Yeah, it was really cold, but everyone was playing in it, so it was fair. So the kind of the two things I went into focusing on was I wanted to commit to every shot I took and not be timid on the putting green. I wanted to run my putts if I thought I could make it. And I did that for the most part. There was a couple times where I kind of caught myself slipping.
Any good makes?
Yeah. I mean, also this is probably the highlight of the tournament was birdieing number one on the second round. Didn't have anything really crazy for putts, but made, I felt like most of the ones I should have made, there's, you know, still a couple misses where I caught myself kind of slipping and either picturing getting up to the next hole already, you know, like my mind wasn't at that putt. I was already like thinking, like counting it as made and moving on type thing. But yeah, no, I didn't have like any crazy throw-ins or anything like that. I had a lot of like, you know, pretty nice shots, a couple ace runs on eight both times, where probably my mental game hit the worst was right after I birdied one. I checked the score for some reason. I don't normally check score. I just kind of keep playing. But I wanted to kind of make a push, one last push. And I checked the score. I was going into number two, which is almost impossible. Not almost impossible. It's a really hard three. Like it's a tough, you know, tough three to get. You know, it's almost impossible to get a two. And then hole three is also a tough, like two to get, or, you know, tough, even a tough three to get. So I went into like the last two holes with just a little bit of a disadvantage, not really, but it was just like a hard two holes to get to, and completely shanked both shots because I was just thinking about getting past those holes. I wasn't concentrating on the one shot I had to throw. So
gotcha.
That's what happened. Ended up taking sixes on both of them back to back, and I learned from my mistakes, hopefully. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Other than that,
those are easy to take sixes on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like three is one of the holes that I have decently, I wouldn't call it dialed, but...
But, like, if you hit early, I'm just saying, it's like, yes, it's not supposed to be really, like, tough, but...
Yeah, I shanked my shot way off to the left, like, way hard, where I had to go up that backwards path. That's how I had to, like, go to the basket, you know, like, that path that... Yeah, I was way over there, and I had to toss a little zone up. I had to just pitch out, toss a zone up, missed like still left myself with like a 25-foot putt, missed the putt.
It's a tough basket then, location too.
Yeah, missed the like not quite a tap in, but I was just like, yeah, trying to rush myself out of that hole. I was like, all right, just rush out of here, get the five, and you know maybe you can get the birdie on four. But yeah, so. You win some, you lose some. It was still fun, despite the cold.
That's disc golf.
Yeah. Didn't lose any discs. Didn't stick my feet through the snow, or the ice, not the snow. Still finished above my rating, but it was hard for everybody, so that's why it wouldn't affect my rating. So that's good. Two thumbs up. I'll play next year if they do it. So, first real tournament of the year. Well, Disc Golf Pro Tour Tournament of the Year is going to start tomorrow, the 24th, the Las Vegas Challenge. And I updated how we're going to play fire rounds this year. So I'm going to try to quickly run through them. Not going to try to take a whole lot of time.
The rule change episode.
Read through this. So number one is we got to make sure we make our picks before the round starts for anybody. That was like... We were trying to do that, but sometimes we were lenient on it to make sure we were having fun. The way you can earn points for each individual round is you can get 1 point for beating the other players. So whoever picks the hottest gets 1 point. 1 point for picking what that player scores. 1 point for picking the hottest score. 1 point for picking the hottest player. And you can get a bonus point if you pick everything right. We can't pick the same player, but the scores can be the same. So you can get a total of 5 points, and then if your player aces, you get 2 points for that day. But he has to ace on that day, obviously, so you can't actually get a total of 7, but that's like very, very, very unlikely.
It's a magical
hit. Not unlikely, but you know what I mean. And then we're going to do it for FPO and MPO sides, and then we're going to add a bonus pick in that we're going to pick on air each week before the tournament, and we're going to pick who shoots the hottest round for the tournament. So one pick, and then, you know, over the four rounds or whatever it is. Points for that is you get 5 points if the person picks the actual, like, hottest player for the round, and you get 5 total, another 5 points if you pick the right score. So a total of 10 points can be awarded if you pick both of them. Again, players cannot be the same, but scores can. Same as last year, loser from the week before picks first, and loser from the day before picks first for daily hot rounds. And if one of us forgets, then they forfeit the chance to pick once rounds start. So, that being said, we have the Las Vegas Challenge across, what is it, two courses or three courses? Do you remember? I think it's three. Innova course, I think it's Innova, Wild Horse, and Infinite course, if I remember right. Could be wrong. Last year it was taken down by Eagle McMahon with an insane lead. It's going to be a big hyzer fest, so pick your distance thrower and run with them.
Who gets to pick first?
You can pick first if you want. You won last year. I made the rules, so feeling pretty confident.
I'll let you go first, since I won.
All right, then I'm going to go with Ezra Aderhold.
Damn it, Eric.
He came in second last year, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, and but Eagle's injured.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I tried to make you pick first, but no.
Yeah, it was a battle of who was going to pick Ezra.
Negative 14. Going to shoot, go for a hot. Oh, and FPO, I'm going to go with Kristen Tatar at a negative 9. We'll see how far I'm off. You don't have to pick the day they're going to shoot it, but you just have to, you know. What's Kyle going with?
How many under did you put for female?
9 under.
8 for Paige Pierce. You know what? Screw it. 9. Let's go 9.
Why? Just because you don't want to lose points?
No, because I think 9 is a more aggressive play. 10 sounds unreasonable.
Why is 6 afraid of 7?
So, Drew Gibson.
All right. I like it. I dig it.
Is 15 under possible?
I think so, especially with like whatever course is that really short eagle. They just have drop zone or like they just, you know, like the, what's it called? The things.
We'll go with 15.
15 under Drew Gibson. You know, like the one where eagles play is literally just jump putt for par. You can get like a really easy eagle.
I do remember that, yeah.
Land on the green.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Gibson goes for it, so.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll have an amazing day. 15 under sounds like it.
Can't remember what Ezra's score was last year that was like 1099 rated. I should have pulled that up. That would have been
a good podcast thing to do.
I kind of thought, actually, you would have went with Calvin. That's what I thought you would have definitely done.
After you stole Ezra, my brain just like farted.
You're gonna freaking change your mind after the podcast is over, I bet.
I already did.
Nope. Hold on. Wait. Just in case you want to make any more changes, Ezra shot a 16 down. So 15 is very plausible. Very possible.
17.
I almost want to change my number. You're going 17.
Go ahead and change yours. 17. Let's go crazy. Well, he's going to... Because I thought Ezra... I said he's going to do one better, so he has to shoot 17.
Round two.
So, Drew's going to do it.
Drew is going to do it. Yep, I bumped it up to a 16 under. So, just so we're clear, Ezra at 16, Kristen and PP, Paige Pierce at 9 under.
The PP.
And Drew Gibson at 17 under for the weekend hot rounds, and then we'll make our daily hot round picks as we go.
3, 2, 1.
Top five.
I should have said
brain blast instead of top five.
What?
I should have said brain blast instead of top five.
Brain blast.
That would have been funny. So for our top five, we picked the top five Jimmy Neutron characters who would blast a disc. You know who we forgot?
Your mom.
We forgot the closing screen guy. Hi, I'm Paul. At the end, you know, there's always that three-headed monkey. It goes, hi, I'm Paul. We should have put him in there.
Paul.
Well, we're going to put him.
Put him in. He's on the mention.
Yeah, he's on the honorable mention. We'll just get that out of the way. DNA Productions monkey. Thanks, Paul.
Nailed it.
So, starting off at number five, we have Jimmy Neutron.
The boy himself.
Yes, the boy wonder. Is that what they call him?
Overrated.
The funny shaped head Jimmy Neutron. We put Jimmy Neutron because Actually, now that I think about it, they all have funny shape heads.
They do.
Is that just a cartoon thing?
Must be. They just went hard with these cartoons. They're just really funnily shaped.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Jimmy Neutron would start off.
Boy genius.
Yeah, the boy genius would start off making an invention to try to help him succeed in disc golf. And it would fail like it normally does at the beginning of the episode. And so he would do bad the entire 17 holes. And then hole 18, he would have a brain blast to save an ace. So he'd hit the ace pool, but he would still be stuck himself so far into a hole with trying to use it as invention. And it would
fail. But he hit that ace, so.
Mm-hmm. He takes home the money.
Who's the real winner here?
I can't answer that because that'll give spoilers away from
our list. That's true. He's all the way at number 5. Not our boy. His hair looks like ice cream cone.
Yep. Ice cream or whipped cream, too. Kind of. Smooth whipped cream.
Name a cream.
Any cream.
Oof. That was quite a joke.
This is starting off bad.
Okay, number 4 is Cindy. Cindy is the, rival, is that the word? Rival.
Yes, rival.
The boy wonder,
whatever genius, his name is. That's what we decided. Genius,
the person, the whipped cream.
The whipped cream head.
Secretly likes him, I think. But anyway,
they go through that.
I think she'd just be like the Paige Pierce of, that universe. Obviously, she's super smart, so she'd be able to figure out and practice and get good at it. Yeah, easy. Easy peasy there.
Yeah, and I think Cindy always does anything just to be, one better than Jimmy, her goal is just to beat Jimmy, so she'd be better than Jimmy, but she'd also not be as good as our next 3 people.
That makes sense.
Yep.
But she'd be competitive. If Jimmy got into it, she'd be there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Has to be Jimmy. And for our number 3, we picked Bowlby. I don't know his last name, but it looks like it's something European. And I'm pretty sure Europeans are good at disc golf. I've heard that once or twice from people. So.
And he always seems like the kind of character that's wildly, randomly good at things. He'd be able to throw it with his toe or something.
Throw it with his toe. I dig it. He is a foreign exchange student, so I think whatever country he's from, they play disc golf over there, and he just comes to America and destroys them in disc golf.
I could totally see it.
Bowlby Stroganowski. All right, number 2.
Number 2, we went with Sheen. Obviously, the kid has ADHD. It's a superpower. No, I'm just kidding, but the dude should be able to just run around the course in circles around everyone else. I have ADHD. Obviously, I'm the best disc golfer in the world. So,
best disc golfer ever.
See me throw that disc right over those mountains. No, but Sheen would be pretty fairly good, I think. It seems like an athletic kid. He's really flexible, can put his leg behind his head.
Tall and
lanky.
Doesn't have a chin to get in the way. No eyebrows. Chins.
Aerodynamic.
I'm saying the chin would the help of not having a chin, it wouldn't get in his
way. Or eyebrows. Aerodynamics.
Yeah. I personally wanted to put Mrs. Fowl here.
Check under these armpits. I shave.
Mrs. Fowl.
Makes me aerodynamic when I fight. It's from
Does it?
Yeah. Do you know what that's from?
Yes, it's from Pineapple Express.
Nailed it.
That's what we should pick next, the Pineapple Express characters. See you guys next week. My number one, or our number one, that is probably secretly Paul Macbeth, is Jimmy's dad, Hugh Neutron. He is also tall, like Sheen, and he's got these big, long, gangly arms.
He, I think, secretly would be a stoner, too, so he's played disc golf before.
Yeah. That's what, and then he met his wife, Jimmy's mom, and had to go down a straight path. So then he
straightened
got
up a
kicked
bit.
Off of the disc golf tour. That's my guess.
And I'm right there with him.
And honorable mention to Miss Fowl, because I think she's probably an old hippie too.
Let us know if you have any other top 5 suggestions for characters playing disc golf, or anything you can think of, let us know.
That was episode 56.
56!
Talked about the PDGA rule changes. We talked about the LVC, the Las Vegas Challenge, and picked our weekend hot rounds. And we gave you our top five Jimmy Neutron characters who would brain blast a disc.
Thank you for listening. This is 56, the start of season 2. Thank you for listening. If you listened to any of season 1, go back and listen. We have 55 episodes from the past year for your year balls pleasures.
So put your chair in a butt. We didn't nearly talk about how this is season 2 as much as we talked about how last episode was the end of season 1.
Figured we'd wait until the end.
Yeah, I forgot. That was a thing. So.
That was it. He forgot. But thank you for listening.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Catch you on the flip side.